Welcome back to another episode of the Oklahoma Today podcast. In the studio at the Vault 405 in lovely downtown Edmond, we have Oklahoma Today editors Nathan Gunner, Carly Ibarra, and me, Greg Elwell, ready to give you a rundown of the best our state has to offer. But first, the Oklahoma Today podcast is brought to you by MIO, the Made in Oklahoma Coalition. Celebrating its 20th year, the MIO Coalition represents over 70 Oklahoma food processors and agricultural producers. These companies are known for products you can depend on for consistency, quality, taste, and flavor. Local has a name, and the name is MIO, the Made in Oklahoma Coalition. Learn more at www.miocoalition.com.
We love the MIO Coalition, not just because they sponsor the podcast you are listening to, but because they're awesome and they have all kind of cool Oklahoma products.
So absolutely.
Yay for them.
We are recording this right after the opening of Scissortail Park, and we thought we would give you guys a little bit of info about the park, and hopefully you can make your way down there.
You got to go.
Yeah. Carly has got a little bit on the history of the park, which, you know, is a week old, but, you know, it goes back a bit.
So it's a long history. Yeah.
So basically, it was a project of MAPS 3 funded by a 1 cent sales tax initiative from about April 2010 to December 2017. And it cost a whopping $132 million for 70 acres with a cafe, a lake, event pavilions, a great lawn, and a stage. It was built by Oklahoma City-based Downey Contracting, and they started about 2017. The upper park is about 36 acres and stretches from Oklahoma City Boulevard to the Skydance Bridge, which crosses I-40 into what will become the future 34-acre lower park. Construction on the lower park starts next year and is scheduled to be finished in 2021. And it will include paths for biking and hiking, a farm-to-table garden, which is very exciting.
Oh, that's cool. That's going to be fun, yeah.
And a class facility. And then along I-40, there will be sports fields, concessions, and a place to rent sports equipment of all kinds.
That's cool. I love the class facility because that's going to be a good field trip.
Yeah.
We always had to go to the box factory, which is a joke from The Simpsons, but is actually true of my childhood, that we literally went on field trips to the box factory.
Back in the 1940s, whenever you were...
Ouch. Ouch. Well, you know, Carly, words can hurt. Mm-hmm. But yes, in the 1940s when I was a child.
And cardboard can hurt, too, if you run into it at the box factory.
No, that's going to be fun. It's going to be a good park. It already is a good park.
Yeah. They were telling me, I was talking to some folks over there earlier, and there's going to be, like, baseball, football, pickleball.
Which is so hot right now.
Yeah, it's huge.
My grandpa plays?
No, yeah. My friend Hal, who's in his 70s, plays. And he loves it. It's like a cool thing and I saw it at the fair. They had it at the state fair this year.
Oh, really?
So I actually got to watch pickleball. I didn't know what it was.
Okay.
So it's like ping pong life size without a table or tennis.
Very small tennis.
Yeah, very, yes, very small tennis. I don't know. There are no pickles involved as far as I could tell.
You have to bring your own pickles.
Oh, BYOP.
Yeah,
okay.
BYOP.
Okay.
it really does sound amazing. I know that having been in the city while Scissortail was being constructed, it started off at first. It was just like, well, there's a blank field, and every time, and they put it in that streetcar stop on the south, right there in the middle of it, and every time the thing would stop, I'd be like, are they going to build this thing or what? And then all of a sudden, it was there. Like it, you know, I know that they were laying the groundwork for it, but seeing it all come together really quickly has been really cool.
Yeah.
They've already got a bunch of stuff going there. The Love's Travel Stop, Stage and Great Lawn are complete, which is where Kings of Leon played, right? There is a lake, a boathouse with a concession stand, and you can rent pedal boats Wednesdays through Saturdays.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they said it was like, I think it's $12 or $14 for a half hour or an hour or something like that.
That's about all the pedal boating you probably want to do.
Really?
There.
Yeah. You know, and it's not a huge lake either.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
It's, you're not exploring
right.
the outer
you're not
reaches.
Jules Verne. Yeah. Okay.
Are the boats shaped like anything? I love it when the boats are shaped.
I don't
like
know.
Things.
Yeah. I don't know. You know what, guys?
Probably shaped like boats.
I think we should have a field trip and go out and get paddle boats one afternoon for lunch.
I agree. And eat the paddle boats.
That's
and
what
then,
I okay. mean. Yes. You know me. I love eating modes of transportation. I had a train for breakfast this morning. It was delicious. The one thing I love the idea of the paddle boats and everything. As someone with kids, I also know that sometimes I just don't want to do the thing. Mm-hmm. And it is. I think there's this 240-foot bridge across the lake, which I think is going to be amazing for pictures and a lot of, like, watching people doing things mm-hmm. on the lake, which, frankly, is sometimes all my kids can handle.
Right.
it's like, look, they're doing it.
Yeah. And well, then, you as a parent, you could put your kids in the boat and just be like, have fun, and then, like, chill for about a half an hour. And maybe they'll be tired.
Until DHS shows up, yeah. That's exactly right.
Yeah, actually, if I think about it, if you put me and my brother in a paddle boat when we were your kids' ages, the paddle boat probably would have caught on fire and we would have drowned. One of us would have drowned the other.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
They already have the playground up, climbing walls, children's garden, a very big fort with tower and slides. And one thing that I love about it was watching some of the pictures that were coming in during the concert. And of course you see Mayor David Holt there mm-hmm. with Tulsa Mayor G.T. Bynum was there mm-hmm. as well. And I thought, like, of course they better have that children's playground set up, because I don't want G.T. Bynum going back to Tulsa and being like, don't worry, Gathering Place, we got it handled.
Well, I mean, I will, like, it's not Gathering Place.
No,
like,
it's not supposed to be.
Less of a playground. Like, really. I mean, Gathering yeah. Place's playground is gigantic and cool, and it's amazing. And the one at Scissortail is nice, but they're super different parts.
Oh, yeah. I know. I was just making a...
Right, but also Tulsa. I mean, you know, yay for both parks.
Mm-hmm. I really love that you can get there on the streetcar mm-hmm. and just, like, hop off and get into the park. Yeah. I think that's awesome. One other thing that they did that I really think is cool is they built in electrical outlets for the food trucks. And so now food trucks aren't going to have their generators going full mm-hmm. blast, which is the worst part of any food truck festival.
Yes.
Is you're just, like, walking past deafening power boxes.
Yeah.
And now it's like, okay, they can plug in. I thought that was really forward thinking.
That is. That's really cool.
And it shows that they are not – that this is not – every other park, mm-hmm. basically. They've really put some work into it. I figured you would be super excited about the dog park, a half-acre fence dog park with dog water fountains, boulders, slides.
I'm always excited about a dog park.
I know. but like, you know, definitely watching Artemis go down a slide. That's got to be like on your bucket list, right?
Bum first, because she's very bottom heavy. I'll make sure and post some videos of that action.
Please do.
And then coming in spring, the Social Order Dining Collective, which is a restaurant group here, they're going to be opening up this facility called Spark. It's neat to see not just how the park has come together, but also that they've taken into account a lot of these public-private partnerships mm-hmm. and ways that it would have been so easy, I'm sure, for that park to be like, and we're putting in a McDonald's or whatever,
right.
You know, and for them to have partnered with and got, I'm sure they put out an RFP for all sorts of stuff from local people, but to really have that local connection, mm-hmm. I think is further cementing this park in place.
Yeah. The Social Order is, of course, by the same people who brought us the Jones Assembly, among others. And they looked like they were having fun over there. They were having, during the concert, they were open, or they had some kind of party. There were people out there on their balcony and their porch and stuff. And we were kind of looking at it, like, we were having a great time where we were sitting watching the concert, but we were kind of looking at it with a little bit of jealous eyes and being like, oh, it looks like they're having a good time. So that's going to be a neat deal. It's really cool. And it shows that there's so much potential for development and cool stuff right there on the edge of the park that's opposite the new convention center, which, of course, is in the middle of being built.
Yeah.
Opening in 2021.
One other big thing that's coming soon is the farmers market, fall mm-hmm. farmers market that they're going to do there every Saturday in October, and I'm sure they're planning one for spring and summer next year as well. But I love that idea. Again, more ways that they're just sort of working with the community to sort of make it central, to make it vital.
Yeah.
In a way that, like, I love a park. I love parks. It's nice.
Yeah.
I like to go out and be in nature and not – be totally in nature.
Right.
I like
controlled
nature. I like walking paths, yeah. And I like to be out in a place where it is safe and where you're meant to walk, mm-hmm. I guess.
Yeah.
And but I don't get excited about a park a lot of times, and Scissortail Park is a place that I'm excited about. Mm-hmm. I'm actually, it's like, this is really cool. Like we're doing something, and it would have been fine. It would have been fine if they had said this is going to be a park and there's going to be some stuff on it. Yeah. That's great. But they've really, I think this is all part of this new feeling, zeitgeist in Oklahoma City, mm-hmm. that we're not okay with doing things the way that we did them before.
Yeah.
And it really feels like we're pushing into something new and
yeah.
different and trying to become that, I don't love this phrase, big league city, mm-hmm. that we've been, you know, telling people we are. I think that at some point we're going to reach a tipping point where this Oklahoma imposter syndrome starts to go away,
yeah.
where all of a sudden it's like we can stop talking about being a big league city and be that city.
Yeah.
And the kids coming up right now, I hope, are looking at what's happening and recognizing, because we didn't have this. We didn't have this growing up.
Yeah.
Like
when I was in high school, there was a post office where the park is now. And I remember because I used to drive there at midnight to get things postmarked. Like if I was like kind of writing an essay for a college thing.
Yeah.
It's like, it's 11:30 and I finished it. I have to rush to the, because I was a procrastinator.
But also
that's the point you're making.
That was the most exciting thing in Oklahoma City at that point was
the downtown
post office. A lot of people, there were kids lined up. I remember going to a lot of ragers at that post office.
Those people knew how to party. But
when the Forever Stamps came out, oh my God.
But you know, we mentioned earlier, and I think this gets to your point, about how it's very different than Gathering Place, and they're not trying to be Gathering Place, and Gathering Place wasn't trying to be anything. You know, they're not trying to be Central Park. You know, and you hear things sometimes about, like, you know, oh, Tulsa's the new Austin, or, you know, Oklahoma City's the new this or whatever, and it's like maybe they're just what they are, and they're becoming this cool thing. But I love, too, that it's – you're right. It's not just some grass in a place. You know, like just kind of how I always felt about the parks, like when I grew up.
Yeah.
Like, it was fun to go to the park, but it wasn't, like, this exciting thing, right? And it certainly wasn't, like, the center of community life most of the time. And I feel like now it's the people that are doing these kinds of things, city planners and tourism people like us, and they're realizing that you really have to kind of meet people where they are,
mm-hmm.
and really ask them what they want. Like, not just, okay, well, this is what a park is. But, like, what do you want a park to be, and what are the possibilities, and how would you use a 70-acre green space if we built one? And talking to people and listening to that feedback, and you could tell being down there that they really incorporated a lot of that, and it's really cool.
Well, and it makes sense because we paid for it.
Right.
It was paid for by all our dollars,
exactly.
So we should get to decide what's in it and how we're going to use it.
One of my favorite bands of all time is the Kinks. I grew up just loving those weird British boys,
mm-hmm.
and they had a really great album, the Village Green Preservation Society, and every time listening to that album, I found myself longing for this thing that never existed here, which was that community green space,
mm-hmm.
that was the center of the city, where you had businesses around it and you
mm-hmm.
had homes around it, but there was this central area where those things met, and where and it feels like maybe this is going to be our Village Green.
And since they redesigned it, Myriad Gardens has done a great job of being of that too. I know that when I was younger, you went to Myriad Gardens for prom pictures,
mm-hmm.
and that was it, right? Before you went to Spaghetti Warehouse and then on to prom.
For more disappointment throughout the entire night.
Oh, it was a rough night, they relaunched Myriad Gardens, I think, in 2011. And it's been, you know, you go down there now. I mean, you go to things like the outdoor screenings at Dead Center, and they have concerts. And even if you go at a lunch break, there's Zumba classes and yoga classes and people out for runs and all kind of stuff. And people are really using that part.
The Children's Garden is
amazing.
Yeah,
that thing is awesome. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
still great for pictures, by the way.
Yes.
Also great for prom pictures. And, other kind,
This last summer, I took my kids for my birthday. We all went and had lunch at Vast, and then afterwards went down, and I was just walking through that area with them because, you know, as we're walking past, I'm like, look at all these ducks. Look at all these. It's like you wanted to follow
mm-hmm.
them down, and you can walk under the Crystal Bridge now, and you can kind of – and, it's really cool.
Yeah.
I love it. And so it is nice. Yeah, and I really hope that our other parks aren't getting their feelings hurt because everybody's excited about Scissor Tail, because we have done a lot.
Yeah.
It's just that this feels like a culmination in some ways. And at the same time, I don't want it to be a culmination. I want this to be a first step for something bigger beyond that. Because if as soon as we decide that we're done progressing, then all this falls apart.
Right. Well, that's the cool thing about Oklahoma City the last however many years is that it doesn't feel like, you know, I always joke because of all the construction on the roads and stuff that I always say it's going to be a real nice city when they get done building it. But the truth is you're never – a city is an organic thing, and it's never done progressing. And it's when it gets done that it starts to regress, right, which is what happened in past generations in Oklahoma City. So, I'm happy to see us always changing and getting better and finding ways to improve and raise that quality of life. And I think I think as a community we've done a great job of doing that.
One thing that really strikes me, especially, you know, we talk about now, not even just when we were kids, but before we even arrived, you know, I think about like the pay plan, and all of the big ideas that the city had, and then we ran up against intransigent people who, you know, were just like, I'm not behind this. I'm not going to allow this. The money dries up. Yeah. It blows away.
Right. Yeah. The one part of the pay plan that was actually realized was the Myriad Gardens.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And so it's so cool when we're actually seeing these things come to fruition. Mm-hmm. There's still a bunch of stuff that is deeply troubling to
me.
We'll deal with that stuff.
Yeah.
But I mean, I would love to see. Me personally, if I had a wish list, I would love to see this kind of development happening alongside true historical preservation.
Yeah.
And start really taking these spaces that we have had and that we've loved, and maybe some people don't love them anymore, but renovating them in such a way, you know, I'd love to see more stuff like the Gold Dome. I will never be totally over the loss of Stage Center, which had its problems, but it was ours, you know? Anyway.
But the park, it's an exciting move forward. It's like our Avengers Endgame. Like, it's both a culmination and a launching point towards something else, you know, bigger and more exciting.
Well, speaking of exciting guest stars, tell us about the concert.
Oh man. Okay, so I didn't know what to think, you know. I like Kings of Leon, but I wouldn't describe myself as some kind of a rabid fan. I've always enjoyed their music, but... you know, you never know what to expect with something like this because we've never done anything like this before in Oklahoma City, it feels like. So we decided, my husband and I decided that we were going to park at Steve Walker's at Oklahoma Today's art director at his office in Midtown and take streetcar, which went great. We got off in front of First National downtown and just walked the rest of the way. You know, it's like, are there going to be huge lines? Is it going to be, you know, are people going to be confused? What's going on? I'll tell you, we got in just like that. I mean, it was so easy to get in, just very, very quickly. There were not huge lines, but as you guys know, the mayor has since said there were 28,000 people there that night. Now, we were a little bit early, I will say that. Like, I think they opened at 5 and we got there at 5:30, something like that. So, you know, we were a little bit early, but it was still super easy to get into. The crowd control was absolutely on point. Even with 28,000 people there, it was not, like, stupid crowded. Like, everyone, it felt like everyone kind of had room to, you know, sort of breathe and, you know, you weren't shoulder to shoulder. Now, if you were down by the stage, you were.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. I mean, that was nuts. But I'm not a down by the stage person, seriously, no matter what, you know. So we hung out with Lori Duckworth, our photographer, who we got to talk to last week on the podcast. And she was down there to take some shots. And I was down there to just do some social media and stuff for us and honestly just see the park. You know, concert aside, I just wanted to stand in it.
Yeah.
You know, and just that view of the convention center, that's going to be awesome. And the hotel when they're done in 2021, that's going to be cool. And, you know, I wanted that sense of perspective of what it's like to stand here. What's it going to feel like to be here? And it was not, honestly, it was not what I expected.
Yeah.
I didn't know what I expected, but I thought this is, had I closed my eyes and imagined it, this is not what I would have imagined. It's better. Especially, you know, all the trees are new. They just put them in this year. So once those trees start to grow and they really get in, it's going to be really nice. There was a nice breeze blowing. So the back of the Great Lawn, I didn't realize. I knew it was a hill, but I didn't really have a sense of how high it was. And it's very high. It sort of bisects the park visually. So when you're standing on that great lawn looking toward the hill, you can't see the back half of the park all the way back to the Skydance Bridge, which is kind of neat because it makes the whole thing feel a lot bigger even than it really is. So that was neat. So we kind of hung out a little bit closer to the stage, and then as things started, as Republican Hair went on to do their opening set, they were the first band to play, we went back and found seating on the hill. And it was fine. I mean, it was, there were a lot of people up there, but you had a great view, and it was enough space in between people that you didn't feel crowded. You didn't feel like you were sitting on somebody's lap. Kids were like running around up there, you know, and it was fine. Like there, you weren't like, oh, this kid's going to knock somebody over. Like it was totally fine. So it was, it's very spacious, more so than I had really imagined. So that was great.
How was Republican Hair?
They were good. I will say this. I didn't want to like them, which is a whole long thing that has nothing to do with them and has everything to do with me. I didn't want to like them. And I their first song, when they did their first song, I was like, and then they did their second song, and I was like, okay, which I had heard. It had been the bumper song for Dead Center, so I knew it a little bit. And they did it. I was like, okay, I actually do like this song. And then they did third, but I was like, I'm not going to like the rest of it. And then every song they did, I was like, yeah, okay, they're good. I like them. A little shticky because they all had on like the matching jumpsuits and stuff. And I was like, I don't like that kind of stuff. But honestly, they were great. Broncho, it's the best set I've ever seen them play.
Oh, that's great.
They were fantastic. And Kings of Leon was great. Like, they were legit great to see live. I didn't stay for the whole show. We missed the end of it and the fireworks. But what we saw was just phenomenal. They were great. The crowds are great. The only thing that kind of wasn't awesome about the experience, and I don't think there was any way not to have this happen, was that at one point, sort of like toward the end of Broncho, as I was looking toward the set break, I decided I was going to try to go down to the food trucks and get some food. Every line was all the way back to the lawn, you know, and there was fences dividing there. So like every line was super long. And then I found one place that was like Tamales and it had no line. And I went up and they were like, we're out of food. Oh. It'll be an hour.
That's why they didn't have a line.
No, and literally the guy's like, it'll be about an hour if you want to wait. And I was like, no, I don't.
Do you mind if I ask, was it Nick's Tamales?
No, I don't think so. I don't remember. I just remember seeing Tamales and being sort of blinded by hunger. But, you know, had I been willing to wait, it would have been fine. But in one of those other lines, but I just kind of was like, forget it. So we were sitting with Lori, but she had to go down and photograph Kings of Leon in the pit for the first two songs, and like we had all of her other equipment she wasn't taking, and Brian was going to be there watching that by himself. So like I could have waited, it would have been fine, but I didn't want to leave him there to deal with that stuff. So I just went back and we just stopped at Brahms on the way home. It was fine. It was totally like I wasn't going to die of hunger, you know what I mean? So it was totally, it was cool, whatever. But there was no way not to, right? Like there was no way not to do that.
With
like
28,000 people.
There were going to be long lines. Yeah, that was just going to be a part of it, and people were waiting, and they actually had a cool, like, there's tables over there on that convention center side that look like they're permanent installations.
At the promenade?
Yeah. So, you know, there's, if you go down there and they're having a food truck day or whatever, you're going to have a place to sit. Because that's kind of a pain sometimes, right? Like, it's like, oh, I guess we'll sit on the grass, you know, and all that stuff. But there's actually tables, and it's they've thought, it seems like they've thought everything through really well. So I just didn't want to wait that long, is the truth. And maybe those lines were moving super fast. I don't know. I didn't stick around long enough to see.
As much as I love food trucks, I can honestly say I've never been to a food truck where I was like, "Whoa, this food came out really fast."
So right? Yeah, that's not why you go. That's
sort
not
of
why
the
you
stock
go.
And trade.
Yeah. But so that was kind of the only thing during the night that I was like, "Oh." No. But I did. The cool thing about that even was like I got to walk down there and see, like, you know, and the light, it's well lit, so you felt safe the whole time. There were tons of people out. Everyone seemed like they were having a great time. Like, it just was this neat, like, the coolest thing about it, really, I thought was, to me, it's like, even if you don't like those bands, like, I heard a lot of people, you know, gritching about the bands, and I don't like Kings of Leon, you should have gotten Blake Shelton, or you should have gotten somebody cooler, or whatever. I don't know, like...
Audible eye roll, sorry.
Well, you know, people like what they like, and it's fine, and if you didn't want to go, you didn't want to go. Like, some people don't like crowds, and I get that, like, you know, there's any number of reasons not to go, but the cool thing was, if you were there, is that it just was like this cool moment of community togetherness in numbers that you just rarely see.
Yeah.
You know, like just everyone was just out there for Oklahoma City, right? Like even big events like I think, for example, Pride every year in Oklahoma City does these kind of numbers. I think there's like 30,000 people that go to that every year. So it's not like numbers wise that this was unprecedented. But what's cool is that they weren't there for any specific thing other than just, hey, yay, Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
Look what we did. We did this cool thing. It's a park and there's a free concert and You know, like I said, we've just never had a big free rock concert in the middle of the city before, you know? And so that was a cool thing. And it just, everyone was super stoked about Oklahoma City. You know, when the mayor got up and did his little thing, like people were cheering and yelling. And I don't know, it was just, it just felt like a very cool, great moment to be from or live in Oklahoma City.
Well, I got to say, for anybody who missed it and wants to do some other stuff out there, October is going to be a huge month. We've already passed this, unfortunately, but Saturday, October 5th, was the leash cutting when they did the grand opening of the dog park. but there's, like, yoga out there. Mm-hmm. They're going to have food trucks at the park on a regular basis, the Boathouse Boot Camp. Farmers market, like we talked about. Mm-hmm. Really amazing, fun stuff out there. And I'm if you would like to keep up with some of these events, be sure to check out scissortailpark.org. And their online calendar is really great. Yep. And then obviously, you know, we run our own calendar of events, and I'm all signed up with them to get that. So hopefully be bringing you some more Scissortail Park events upcoming. That said, we've got our events for this week for anybody who
lots going on around the state in October. This is an exciting month to live in Oklahoma.
Possibly the best month.
I think so. No, I really do think so.
It's finally not miserable. Yeah. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that on our next episode as well. But October 7th, the spooky girl that everybody loves, Billie Eilish, is playing the BOK Center in Tulsa. But if you can't get tickets, maybe you want to do a deep dive into the history of the Philbrick Museum of Art on October 13th. They're having an architecture tour, Building Villa Philbrick, which is an awesome look at the artists and craftsmen who created the mansion in 1927.
That place is amazing. I swear, if you haven't been to Philbrick, go.
Yes,
go, absolutely. Go. October 8th at the Guymon Public Library. For all of you out in the Panhandle or people who just haven't been to the Panhandle in long enough, you can enjoy the Adult Creepy Craft. Painting scary or fun or cute, whatever. You paint rocks for Halloween, and you can make them whatever you want them to be. Or if you're like most people, you just paint rocks for everyday use. I had a friend in college who had a rock in his dorm room, and it said on one side of it, "Please turn me over." And when you turned it over, it said, "Thank you." So you could make one of those.
Lovely.
Guymon Public Library, October 8th.
So on October 11th, Friday Night Magic at Rule 9 Comics and Games in Altus. So if you love Magic the Gathering, which I'm sure you do, as I do, this will be a good night to make new friends and or enemies while you battle it out with your decks. It's a weekly event, so if you can't make it this Friday, maybe next week will work.
October 11th and 12th at the Discovery Outpost in Medicine Park, it's Pumpkin Science for Little Ones. It's a $5 class aimed at kids 7 and under, and they'll do experiments with pumpkins, learn pumpkin facts, taste pumpkin seeds, make pumpkin-scented bubbles, pretty much anything you can think to do with a pumpkin. Anything
fun and safe.
Anything fun and safe.
Yeah, fun for everybody. October 11th and 12th is the Celtic Festival in Duffner Park in the Village here in the Oklahoma City area. They're going to have all kind of stuff. This music, if you like Irish music, which I do, dance. So if you're a lord of the dance or an aspiring lord or lady of the dance, get all kind of games, and there's just really neat stuff. So I'm looking forward to that. I think that'll be really fun.
And I think Sean Cummings Irish Pub is setting that up.
Yes, and we love them. That's great Irish food. It's going to be a good time, and it's the first one they've ever had.
Yes.
So it's the inaugural Celtic Festival.
It's the inaugural first annual Celtic Festival.
So also on October 11th and 12th, man, that is a busy weekend.
It's going to be a good weekend.
You can head to Lawton for their Comanche County, the 46th annual Oktoberfest in the Great Plains Coliseum. There's German food, German beer, I'm sensing a theme here, German polka music, and more fun. There's also plenty for kids to do as well, and it's only $3, so it's a super cheap event, and it sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun.
And it's free for kids 12 and under as well.
Yeah.
And then October 12th, the second annual inaugural celebration of Edmund Pride. Live performances, activities for all ages. More than 100 vendors, including some great food trucks, probably some who are out at Scissortail Park. Mm-hmm. Let's Do Greek,
Love
Mob
them.
Grill. And it's all in Hafer Park. So thank you guys so much for listening to the Oklahoma Today podcast. Do us a favor, please, if you are enjoying this, go online, rate us, comment, share us with your friends.
I just told my Aunt Janet about us. She's going to subscribe now.
Hi, Janet.
Hi, Janet.
There's already a bump.
We already have one listener in Prague now. Yeah.
And obviously, we would also love if you would subscribe to our magazine, Oklahoma Today. We've been around for almost ever, and it's a great way to learn more about this state. And of course, visit our website, oklahomatoday.com. Where we keep lots of events updated for you all, as well as other fun stories. Trivia Tuesday, win some swag.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have all kind of cool stuff going on OklahomaToday.com and in the magazine. And if you subscribe now, you'll start with our Tulsa issue, which is coming out soon.
Yeah.
And that's so exciting. This cool cover art by Matt Moffitt of Tulsa.
Man, it's so
which
awesome.
Is beautiful, that we can't wait to show you. And if you are a Tulsa resident, if you've never been to Tulsa, if you don't know anything about Tulsa, you're going to want to pick this one up because it's got all kind of cool stuff. And one of the cool things about it, by the way, before we leave you, is that we have a Tulsa scavenger hunt. And
yeah.
Some of our friends up in Tulsa are going to be giving some neat little discounts and deals for people who go out and do some of the things on our Tulsa scavenger hunt and let us know about it on Instagram. So pick that up. Subscribe now, OklahomaToday.com.
Please, if you have any questions, comments, concerns, you want to send us pictures of your dogs particularly,
please,
you can
do that one.
Yeah.
You can email us at oktpod@travelok.com. And of course, we are on all the various medias of sociality at Oklahoma Today. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you again next week.